After Srila Prabhupada gave me sannyas, not only the devotees started to treat me differently, but Prabhupada also started to treat me in a somewhat different way. He used to call me Maharaj. And whenever he used to call me Maharaj, it sounded so funny, as if Prabhupada was joking at me. And sometimes he would literally call me in a joking way. And to others also he would address me as our Bhaktacharu Swami or our Bhaktacharu Maharaj. And my service still was the same. I was with Srila Prabhupada all the time. I was taking care of all his needs, and I was giving him medicine, I was cooking for him, and whenever he needed something, I was always waiting to cater to those needs. Then one day, Srila Prabhupada, I was sitting with Srila Prabhupada, and I just asked him, Srila Prabhupada, why don't we follow the four stages of sannyas as it has been prescribed in the scriptures? And those four stages of sannyas are Kutichak, Bahudak, Paramahamsa, Paribrajak and Paramahamsa. Kutichak stage is when one takes sannyas but stays close to his house and his family members bring him prasad and his other necessities. Then he moves on to Bahudak, when he does not depend upon his family members to provide, but he just begs and takes care of his needs. And then he begins to travel, especially travel to the places of pilgrimage. That is the Paribrajak stage. And then finally, when he attains his spiritual perfection and becomes situated on the transcendental platform of Suddha Sattva, then he is in the Paramahamsa stage. So I just asked, why don't we follow that standard? Then Prabhupada said that standard of sannyas, that kind of sannyas, is actually for attaining liberation. But our objective is not to attain liberation. Our objective is to develop our devotion to Krishna and propagate Krishna consciousness, spread Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, we are not so much concerned about these four different stages. Our business is to spread Krishna consciousness, and that is why our sannyas is known as three danda sannyas. The three dandas or sticks signify that the body, mind and words have been solely dedicated in spreading Krishna consciousness and serving his mission. So it became very clear to me that what my sannyas actually meant. And Prabhupada also pointed out that he gave me sannyas with an objective that I commit myself completely, offer my body, my mind and my words in spreading Krishna consciousness, preaching Krishna consciousness. And that way often I used to feel very fortunate that I could ask Srila Prabhupada directly and could get the instructions so clearly from him. And also my sannyas ashram started in a quite a simple but colorful way, because I was a very new devotee, just a few months in the movement, and everywhere it became a topic of discussion, that how Prabhupada gave me sannyas. I started to receive letters from devotees, express those who were close to me, those who knew me, that how they were delighted to hear that Prabhupada gave me sannyas. They're all very excited and thrilled that Srila Prabhupada just picked me up and allowed me to serve him in such a intimate way, which was actually the most important service at that time. And devotees were dying, what to speak of serving Srila Prabhupada directly. They were dying even to just have a few minutes of Srila Prabhupada's association, just to be around Srila Prabhupada for a few minutes. Devotees came from all over the world to Vrindavan at that time. And not many of them could actually have access to Srila Prabhupada's room. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very particular about who would come to Srila Prabhupada's room. And different devotees used to have their turn to sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Prabhupada's room. So this is how the devotees used to get a chance to be near Srila Prabhupada. But hardly anyone used to get any chance to speak to Srila Prabhupada, what to speak of getting personal instructions in this way. And there are so many personal instructions that I received from Srila Prabhupada, for which I feel extremely fortunate. Like one day, it was actually in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada just told me, you are, he started to speak. He said that people think that Krishna's pastimes with the gopis was immoral. The moralists especially, they don't even want to delve into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, thinking that those pastimes are immoral. But Prabhupada explained, but why, if Krishna's pastimes with the gopis was immoral, then why should Sukadev Goswami, who was a brahmachari, Naishtiki brahmachari, and did not have anything to do with his family, even right after his birth, he walked away from his family, from his father and mother, considering that that can become a sort of entanglement for him. So why then Sukadev Goswami so elaborately spoke about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan? And then Prabhupada started to explain that Krishna's dealings with the gopis are not immoral, but imitation of Krishna's activities with the gopis is immoral. And then he explained that these pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan is the highest spiritual activities. But when we see the reflection in the material nature, then the highest appears to be the lowest. And that is why when some mortal living entity tries to have a relationship with some unmarried girl or somebody else's wife, yes, that is immoral. But the consideration of morality or immorality doesn't at all arise in Krishna's case, because whatever Krishna does is of is absolutely moral, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Proprietor. So when a proprietor enjoys the things that he possesses, that is not immoral, that cannot be immoral. When somebody who doesn't own something, he tries to enjoy that, that is immoral, that is sinful, that is stealing. To try to enjoy somebody else's property is immoral. But when somebody enjoys his own property, there is no question of immorality. So, since Krishna is the supreme proprietor, so he is the supreme enjoyer. And everyone else is an object of his enjoyment. Now it's up to Krishna how and when he wants to enjoy. And then Prabhupada explained that in the spiritual sky, there is no sex desire. And he explained that in order to even enter into spiritual sky, one has to become free from sex desire. Unless and until one has conquered sex desire, he cannot enter into the spiritual sky. Even the Brahma Jnanis, to merge into impersonal Brahma Jyoti, have to conquer sex desire. So what to speak of the topmost region of the spiritual sky? How can there be any sex life? How can there be any sex desire? So, Krishna, there is no tinge of sex desire in Krishna's dealings with the gopis. It is completely pure. And then Prabhupada explained that the consideration of sex life is there when it is between two material bodies. But in the spiritual sky, they don't have material bodies. Their dealings are spiritual. It is the interaction between the living, the spirit souls. It is the interaction between the Lord and his devotees in the pure spiritual existence. So that is what we have to understand. And these activities of Krishna with the gopis is so pure that by hearing those activities from a proper source, one becomes free from sex desire. These are actually the most wonderful and most powerful means to become free from sex desire. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada just explained that how pure Krishna's relationship with the gopis are. And I could also understand that the need to hear these things from a bona fide, pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, who can actually explain, or to speak of explain, even understand these secrets?